This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. Adam, we're at that point where when you get to the elevator, you better have that badge. You better not have forgotten the card in your room because you're not getting into this one.
I'm surprised you even know about these from your, you know, Howard Johnson Econolodge stylings of two floors where you just walk up the stairs. Yes, these, we are getting to the teams now where you have to, after hours, swipe your badge. There will be, you'll perhaps have a special elevator.
Yeah.
You have the free drink coupons and the free spa coupons. Yeah. This is, you are in the luxury suites now. This is the teams who are, you expect to be in the finals or to be in the conference finals at least. So
yeah, let me clarify what we're talking about. We're talking about the 2021-22 season preview. We've been chugging them out for the last couple of weeks, and
this is part seven. If they're just tuning in, I know, we're seven now. Where have you been? I don't know.
If we're in the HBO miniseries portion of this, we're at the part where you're like, can you just get to the fucking finish? Like, is this the part where we really find out who the killer was or not? Like, but I mean, we're going to find out who really is the best, but I mean, we're not talking here on this necessarily, but this is the luxury suite, like the fourth floor, like the one below the top tier. Like it's like when you go, this is like the one where when you go get, when you go to an NBA game and you're not sitting with the owners, but you're in a really cushy spot. Like you're not the best. You're not the team that everybody is gunning for. You're not the champion, the defending champion, but
okay, fine. You're courtside next to the bench.
Yeah, you got a target on your back.
You're right there. That, you know, they will be running into you. Popcorn will be spilled on you. They will stand in front of you trying to check in. So,
and it's a very precarious spot too. Like if you make even one bad personnel mistake, if you have a bad injury break, down you go. I mean,
it's a very expensive spot to be in as well. You have paid to get to this point, and all these teams have and will be paying. So,
right. I mean, almost all of them that I think we're talking about, it's going to be four teams this time. I think two of them are tax paying teams in terms of the luxury tax, and two of them are not, but they're literally at them like on the out, like just short of paying that tax. The first one we're going to talk about that is in that sort of overlay of the paying into the tax to stay good is the Utah Jazz, who had a wonderful year last year in the 2021 season. 52-20, had the number one seed in the Western Conference. Donovan Mitchell with his new extension along with Rudy Gobert's really good years. Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year. Mike Conley fit in really well with Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson, who won Sixth Man of the Year. They really ramped up on the three-point shooting. Their defense stayed solid, which was which until the playoffs when they played the Clippers. And I think that was the part that sort of soured a lot of people out, where this was the team that could have been put it, like kind of like injected new blood into the playoff scenario. And instead of doing what Phoenix did when Phoenix got all the way to the finals, they played the Clippers, and without Kawhi Leonard, they just kind of belly flopped the last couple of games.
Yeah, they sort of got tired and sort of fizzled out at the end, which was a shame. But yeah, last year was the year where in theory, everything should have lined up for them, especially once the Lakers crapped out at the end. This was theirs for the taking, which it was a shame that they did not do. And the good thing about this, the good and bad thing, the good thing is they did really essentially bring their entire team back. The only person they lost were George Niang and Derek Favors. And Derek Favors wasn't really...
Favors was not doing much for them other than just being basically plugging in at center in case Rudy Gobert was in foul trouble, which was rare.
Yeah. So they've bulked up. I mean, that's the, I mean, the, before I get to that, that's the good news is you bring the team back. The bad news is, well, now they're all a year older, including Mike Connolly, who's now getting older.
He was an all-star. So, I mean, he really, I mean, you talk about a guy who really made sure that he got his money. It was Connolly. He had probably one of the best seasons of his career right when he was going to be an expiring deal at age, I want to say he was like, what, 34 years old, 33 years old. And he got a 3-year, $72 million deal. Good for him. You know, the
he
Jazz.
He will be 34 when the season starts. So that's the problem of he's going to be old now. And like I said, we lost Favors, but then we bring in Rudy Gay, which is like, we can't believe, you know, he signed there because yeah, he's old, but he's still solid and he will provide as the second unit player for this. He could probably even be starting, you know, they like Royce O'Neal, but he could be the starting four if need be. And then you bring in Hassan Whiteside as the Gobert insurance. Just yeah, like, he's six fouls. He can play 15 minutes, just rebound. All you gotta do is rebound, block shots.
And exactly. And then the other one that I was kind of a late addition because Golden State was trying to get out of some money because they're paying so much tax. But I think Eric Paschal could actually play some small ball for them. So I think that can actually help them. Their top guys are Mitchell and Gobert. We already know that there was some tension between them because of the COVID thing that happened in 2020. So, you know, I don't know if there's any more tension between those two. I felt like they worked off of each other really well. The only problem with Gobert and, you know, Adam, I think that this kind of showed in with the Clippers, and I don't want to try to make it too much of like that it's basically that the Jazz inherently cannot go far, is that Gobert basically just kind of sitting in the middle and being parked there, not stretching too much to challenge shots. If you go really small on him and shoot threes, it's easier to knock out the Jazz than it would be because they're not going to adjust, because by adjusting, the Jazz would be pulling Gobert out and they'd be immediately become worse. Like, do you think this is a scenario where the Jazz really needed to be mindful that they might have a ceiling on them in terms of playoff advancement?
Well, no, he is a defensive player of the year three times now. So he is the best. He is who he is. And you have to play to that style. The Jazz cannot play small ball, which is why they got Hassan Whiteside.
And let me be clear. They said that offensively also about Giannis in Milwaukee, and guess what happened? They won a ring. So it's not always true. You can say, oh, well, they got all the breaks. Like the Jazz, the Jazz were there just because the Lakers got hurt or whatever other team, or Kawhi got hurt. Well, they still lost to the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. So all these teams are really good, and the Jazz are loading up again. You know, Bogdanovich is still in the fold. You mentioned O'Neal, who they still really like. In the draft, they didn't really do too much. They got Jared Butler because we talked about how they're going to be not knee deep into the tax. I want to say they're somewhere like right on the fringe where they're paying like a $29 million tax bill, which means you're just kind of like in it. But because of Gobert and Mitchell's new deals and now Conley getting a little bit more on his deal, you're just bound to have to pay tax. Like, do you feel like this is a team that is you are willing to really go out for, like, to be competitive in the future?
This is a team, they, again, you mentioned that they were the first seed last year. There's no reason they shouldn't be at the top again this year.
It's going to be hard, though, because of the fact that if you do have health among those other teams in the West, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. You know, we've talked on the throughout this preview about how many teams are really bad. Like Oklahoma City still stinks. You know, we don't know how good Portland's going to be. I'm missing a couple of other teams out in the West that they can pretty much pick on. But there's still some good ones out there too. Denver is right there on the fringe. The Lakers and Clippers are always like right there because of how star driven they are. You just got to be watchful. The only drama that they had in the offseason was that the guy who sort of was the architect for the rebuild from the start was Dennis Lindsay, and he stepped away because there was some friction between either him and Quinn Snyder or him and the GM Justin Zanuck. So do you feel like with Zanuck in charge now that he might take a big swing at something?
No, because this is the year you sort of have to stay pat, and you brought the entire team back. You don't need to make, I don't think it's a Toronto where we need a big piece to make, you know, one final, you know, final push. This is the team that you're going to have you don't need to rock the boat too much.
They have the Vegas has the win total at this point. The sports books at 51.5 wins. I actually think that's low. I think they'll easily.
No, they should be. They should be easily higher than that as well. I will also take the over.
Okay, Adam, let's move on to the Phoenix Suns, who got all the way to the NBA Finals and just had that really just not, I wouldn't even call it a bad break. The Bucks earned their championship, but just came close and they just fell apart in those last few games.
They overachieved. They got hot. They got real hot.
They were healthy, minus and the COVID by the COVID for Paul and then the ACL with Dario Saric in the finals. But other than that, they were pretty much full strength.
But in the end, they finally came crashing down and Chris Paul can only take him so far. And much like the Utah we mentioned, yeah, this team is bringing back their core because they're all basically young and they are,
that,
you know,
that is, well, that, yeah. That is NBA GM 101. When you have a finals team, you don't break it up. You have to keep everyone in place.
And nobody, you know, Chris Paul signed a 4-year, $120 million extension. Nobody thought he wasn't going to sign it. It was one of those, well, you have to bring him back because he is the only person who can try to bring you back, that, you know, bring you back to the promised land. And they did try to bolster their second unit a little bit by getting some veterans in Landry Shamet and Elfrid Payton and JaVale McGee
right
to round out the roster. I think
McGee can be a help because defensively he's still solid. He's got a little bit of offensive acumen. And Saric is good, but Saric is more of a stretch big, whereas McGee can sort of still run some of the sets you are with Ayton, especially those alley-oops to finish with Paul because Paul's so good at that.
Well, the thing is, this team is who they are. You have Chris Paul, you have Devin Booker, you have Mikal Bridges, you have DeAndre Ayton, and Jay Crowder is your starting four. None of those guys are going to change. Nobody's going to overtake them. So there's not really much you can do because this team functioned as they did. There's really no sixth man. They didn't lose anybody. But this team is just who, you know, this is where you have to do the same thing again. The question is, they sort of caught lightning in a bottle the first time. Can they do it again?
Right. Let me ask you this about some of the moves that they made in the offseason. Did you mind them keeping Cameron Payne and Frank Kaminsky? We talk about keeping the nucleus, but Payne, while valuable, was as a backup point guard. Kaminsky was more of a situation where, you know, only break glass in case of emergency type of big man. But did you like them bringing him back on small money?
Well, that's the thing, is they brought him back on small money. If they're happy being there and you like having him there, there's no reason of swapping them out for somebody who's just as comparable. Get, you know, well, let's just keep the team together. Let's do it again. So I have no problem with it because it's really, they're not moving the needle either way.
Yeah.
So don't rock the boat.
I like that lineup they do where they go small 1-4. But they have Ayton in the paint to be able to patrol and like finish on screens and stuff. And they would I don't know if they play Bridges at the four or Johnson at the four more. I would say they play Bridges at the four more because he's actually able to guard smaller fours if the other team goes small. But that does seem like a really nice combination. And then I forgot to mention Jay Crowder, who starts a lot. But Crowder, I feel like, is more of one of those guys. He's got the body to guard at the four spot, but he's more offensively, he's more of just kind of a catch and shoot guy. Johnson's got some like jump to his game. He had a pretty nice dunk, if anybody remembers, in that NBA finals. So you don't sleep on him. Bridges is in a weird situation though, because he and Ayton are both up on restricted deals at the same time with their rookie deals. Like, do you think they can get extensions inked up for both of them before? I think Ayton will absolutely get a deal, something in the same range of what like Trey Young got, like 5 years, $172 million. I'm not sure about Bridges. Like, do you think that can be done?
No, I don't think they can afford to pay to do both of them right now. Yeah,
because they're not in the tax like we talked about earlier. But this, if they do this, they do this with Bridges and Ayton with Paul's new deal, Booker at $36 million, who we didn't even mention, Devin Booker, unbelievable player, do whatever you can to build around him, then you're in the tax. If you
sign they're up. Going to be in the tax is the question. Yes,
that is true.
The statement. So
yeah.
You kind of, I guess, in this day and age, you have to sort of re-sign the guy, as opposed to you can't just let him go for nothing.
Yeah.
And if you do sign in trades, well, you just create this whole sort of weird thing. But you have to sort of keep with the course, and again, hope you put it all back together again. So Vegas has him at 50.5.
That's actually, here's the funny part. 50.5 is a lower number than the number of wins they had in the 72 game season, 51 wins. So I would actually easily go over. Like, I would go somewhere around like 52 to 55. Like, I would say they're easily going to lap that. Like, this is a team that I don't think is going to, just because other teams might rise to the occasion, have more health, maybe populate the top of the standings more than they did last year. I don't think that necessarily means that Phoenix is going to fall back. We already talked about how many bad teams there are in the league that they can pick on. They were 24-12 on the road. Like, they're able to do it. Monty Williams, you know, this wasn't like his first year coaching them. This was the second. So he's got a flow going with that team. The one thing I did want to mention about the salary situation with Paul that's interesting is that, because they do have some relief on the back end in the later years, because Paul is one of those guys who's at age 36, and there's only so much salary you can guarantee once they get to like age, I think it's 38. So he actually has like non-guaranteed like deals on the last 2 years. So if you want to part yourself from it after 2022, you can actually reasonably pull that off. I don't think they necessarily will. I think Paul's one of those evergreen players like Tim Duncan, where like, he's just going to be able to be good no matter where he is, no matter how old he is.
But this is also one of those where maybe Vegas knows something and they're going to be taking a step back, which you had mentioned. It's like, well, that's sort of a
which can happen, because once you hit a high like this, like, where do you go from here? You know, now we've seen this happen the other way with like Milwaukee. Remember, Milwaukee had a great year. They barely missed the finals against Toronto. Then they had an even better year on track in 2020 before before COVID. So like, sometimes it goes the other way though, Adam. Like, some teams actually like use that as like a chip on their shoulder, and they really are motivated to make sure they get home court throughout. You know,
I also, you know, number one, these totals were as of, I believe, Labor Day. So the line could have moved if it was egregiously low, as you claim it is. However, you can't forget the fact that the West is a lot tougher, and you have Golden State, who is now going to be coming up. You have the Lakers, who are now going to be coming up. To get that flash in the to get that super win total. You maybe they know something on this one, so I think they might be on. I might even have to take, you know, slightly the under because of the competition.
Okay, a minor question about the Suns and then a bigger picture question. The minor one is, do you think Jalen Smith can take a step up this season?
He kind of has to, because like you mentioned, Jay Crowder is jack-all-trades hustle player, but he...
But you brought JaVale McGee in, so you don't have to rely on Jalen Smith unless you want to go bigger with a two-big lineup and play Smith at the four, because supposedly he can make threes, and then Ayton at the five or whatever you want to do. But I don't think they have to use him. Like,
they don't have to, but he has to do something. Because, yeah, Jay Crowder is the small ball four, but in order to have sort of the big... like a big man presence and sort of be dominant, he has to. I mean, he's only had one. You make it sound like he has to be the one who starts up, and he didn't really do much last year. So
well, here's the thing though. He was a lottery pick. You're not going back to the lottery if you're Phoenix. Like, Phoenix was in a rare spot where they were bad, 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 good in the bubble, and then NBA finals. Like, that doesn't happen a lot, you know? So you're not gonna get a lot of bites at the draft apple is what I'm trying to say. And then here's the big picture question. Between Milwaukee, who were their adversaries in the finals, and then in Phoenix, which one do you think is more likely to get back to the finals between the two?
Milwaukee
for sure.
Yeah,
Just absolute confidence. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Miami Heat. This one, this is a team, obviously, that went to the finals in 2020 with a different cast that they're going to have this year. But, they, you know, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, they get to the playoffs in 2021, but you could see the struggling. They were 40-32, and they just got wiped out by a Bucks team that, A, had revenge on their mind because it was the Heat that had eliminated them, and B, they just weren't equipped with the same cast from the year to before to basically duplicate what they did in the bubble.
They didn't, and they just sort of, they looked just sort of meh, like, okay, we're trying the same thing, but they just looked basically like, oh, we made this awesome dinner, and then, well, let's just put it in the fridge and we'll microwave it next, you know, tomorrow. And it's like, well, it's not as good. And that's what the team sort of, right, sort of looked like.
And they, and the thing about Miami is that they have this reputation since after LeBron left and then Dwayne Wade, where Pat Riley sort of had the same central like team. And they were like, what I'm trying to say is that he has this reputation of being like super consistent. We're able to like keep it going. We chug along all these G League guys and we bring them on up and develop them into good players. It's like a pipeline. But if you remember when they signed Jimmy Butler in 2019, Adam, they were in a salary cap crunch. So they had to like drain out literally everyone that they could to fit Jimmy in. And they did pretty much the same thing here where they did all these different like opting, like using a team option on Goran Dragic so that they could trade him to get Kyle Lowry and make a sign and trade work. They let Andre Iguodala walk away. They, you know, Olenek, Myers Leonard and Mo Harkless were gone. Kendrick Nunn, they let walk in free agency. Instead, the other guy that they wanted who was a restricted free agent that they re-signed was Duncan Robinson, who got a huge deal. But what I'm trying to say is Riley, he didn't empty the cupboard because you still have Butler and Adebayo and Robinson and Tyler Hero. But if you look beyond that, there is literally no one left outside of those three other than KZ Akpala that was on that team last year.
This team is built for this year. They went all in. This team is not built for the future. Like you said, you have Tyler Hero, who did not progress like they thought when they refused to trade him for Harden.
He didn't play at the level that he did in the playoffs in 2020.
He was not the untouchable person they thought he was. Bam is your all-star center, and he's going to be so.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're just, like you said, old people now. You bring in, you know, champion P.J. Tucker, who's old. You bring in Markieff Morris, who's old. You bring in Kyle Lowry, who's old. You somehow get Duncan Robinson back.
By the way, 3 years, $85 million for Kyle Lowry. I mean, I think it's fully guaranteed as well. Like, what did you think of that?
That's a lot of money, and this team is going to be very bad. There's a huge cliff. They're looming. They're really just careening over, and one injury will take them out. The X factor is sort of, you have Oladipo back. Mm-hmm. If he provides anything for your team, he will just be, it'll just pay tenfold, because
that was a bad break and a good break depending on what year you're looking at. Because in 2021 that was a bad break because they made a trade to get him, but he was injured with some injury involving his quad muscle. So he was out, but it was a good break because you were able to leverage yourself into getting Oladipo back for less money. I think he signed like the veterans minimum or something, like, or 1 year, $2 million. So you got him in the fold as almost like a secret weapon if he can come back to be anywhere near. They also bring back Dwayne Dedman, who I thought was pretty good for them in spare time.
Just solid backup, but you know, they tried to go all in last year again with getting Bielitsa and Oladipo, and that didn't work. So they're just sort of doubling down, and this is the year we have to, because somehow they always, the masters of the salary cap and the roster, they managed to make all these trades, and they've never had any money to do so. But
what kind of relief can Lowry provide, in your opinion? They haven't really had that type of like a go for a type of point guard. I mean, they had Dragic, but Dragic and Lowry do not play the same.
They had Dragic, but, you know, he was sort of like Dragic 2-3 years ago, before Dragic started to get older and slower and more second unit. Hey, Lowry is going to reach that point real soon, but yeah. Lowry provide, you know, that veteran, that I don't want to say veteran leadership that Dragic should have, but Dragic would just say, yeah, I'm just going to pass and play. I'm not going to do anything. Lowry and Butler will work well together.
They hustle. Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be a lot of grinding and hustling out to get every win, but this is just a very old, they are old and they are fragile, and one injury will take them out, but a lot of people are moving them to the top tiers because of, well, you get Lowry, who will put your team over the top, and you have Jimmy Butler still, who's at this high level, is still hasn't peaked yet, you know, hasn't fallen off his prime yet. So the win total is sort of misleading, but telling in a way.
You got it. That's at 46 and a half.
Which... It's 46 and a half. I just, you know, some places have it a little higher, but like in the East, this will get you the 3 seed.
Right. Like, well, the East is deep, you know, it's almost like a, it's almost like a situation where you cannibalize each other. I don't remember Milwaukee's, let me look at it. Milwaukee had 46 wins when they won that championship. You know, and some people are like, well, you know, the Bucks underachieved and they just saved it up for the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, but they were also trying to they also lost a lot of those games legitimately because the teams that they were playing in the East mostly were pretty good, especially in a 72 game year like last year, because in that situation, you were more likely to play Eastern Conference teams for them than the West. So that means that it was the East teams that were giving you the most trouble. So I can see the same thing with Miami, where they have a little bit of trouble with like balancing the wins. But I think 46 and a half is a little, I mean, I go over on a lot of these teams, but like I see that as kind of low. I could see them getting near like 48 to 49 wins as being their sort of balance in an 82 game setting.
Yeah, I can see that line probably being moved the way the betting
Chicago gone, but... we already talked about. It's different. Like that's one where it's really a toss up. Like they could be really good or they could be terrible. Like we don't really know yet. Like that's truly a blank slate. Butler is such a stabilizing force because he's such a leader. Like 21 points, 7 rebounds. 7 assists, led the league in steals, like gets to the free throw line a ton, Adebayo in the paint, just easy plug in defensively. I think defensively they're going to be way better. Like they were good, but they're going to be, I think they're going to be near the top this time. Offensively, I think is the problem. I don't see the offense improvement with this nucleus.
Well, it's just you have who you have. You're going to have high reliance on Tyler Hero to do something, and hopefully he does. If not, well, again, your ceiling is the third seed. Your basement is still in the playoffs, so
yeah. And from a historical continuity, I'd like to see Miami Milwaukee meet again, just to say, you know what, you got us one time, we got you one time. Now let's have the rubber match, and I that would be kind of fun to see. The only other thing that does make me worry about their defensive stamina, even though I think they'll be much improved. Duncan Robbins has got to improve on defense. You just gave him 5 years, $90 million. You got to play two ways, buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't just be a specialist.
Right. That's my only issue.
Speaking of precarious positions, and one injury will throw your team off, because this team is just old and old and they keep getting older.
Yes, let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. No, let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. I just said it just like that guy in the meme, Lakers. But the LA Lakers, they win the championship in 2020. They ink up Anthony Davis to a new long-term extension, and him and LeBron are in the fold, and they bring in some additions like Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell and other guys, along with some mainstays from the championship team. Anthony Davis gets hurt. I think it was his calf muscle, right? Was it his calf that he injured?
Mm-hmm.
And then that was in February. And then LeBron goes down in March with an ankle injury. And that really deep sticks their record. They went 42-30. They wound up in the play-in scenario, which LeBron was not a fan of, but they still beat the Warriors to secure their 7th spot. But then they lose to the 2 seed, which was the eventual finals Western Conference champion, the Phoenix Suns. Then that's when the purging started.
That's when they too needed to go all in, and they had a nice little trade, I believe, set up for Buddy Hield, which I thought would have been a good fit, but then They're like, nope, we need a superstar. We need Russell Westbrook. So that's just giving no spacing to this floor. And I don't know how they're going to find it with a starting five of Westbrook, Wayne Ellington, probably Kent Bazemore at the three, LeBron and AD. That's not there's no space on the floor for that.
I'll give you my guess on the starting lineup after this. But I did want to ask you this question first, talking about the transactions. Of everybody except for LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Talen Horton-Tucker, who they re-signed, everyone else who was on the 21 lineup is gone, or the roster is gone for LA other than those three. Among the losses, which is Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Markieff Morris, Alex Caruso, Andre Drummond, and Ben McLemore, which ones, and Marc Gasol, which ones do you think would probably be the most impactful, regardless of the additions that they made?
Basically any of them, because they were the bench, and they were, you know, Schroeder started, and Harrell disappointed as a six man, but he got minutes. KCP was he not the starting two? Kuzma was the first man off the bench. Caruso got a ton of minutes.
I thought Kuzma was the biggest loss.
They all were, because they were all they all contributed to the team, and you're just replacing them with, you know, Rondo, who is super old, Dwight Howard, who didn't really do anything. He was supposed to be the X factor in Philly, and
no, but he did fit. He did fit well in 2020, Dwight Howard, when they won the champ. He had been in LA in 2020, so
yeah. So he's returning to the, but now he's returning 2 years older and a little more broken down.
Right. You mentioned
the X factors.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
The X factors in this roster are the two sort of garbage heap pickups in Malik Monk, who failed out of Charlotte, and then Kendrick Nunn, who are both going to get tons of playing time, so they have the ability to play themselves into the rotation. Well,
Nunn played point guard minutes, starting point guard minutes in Miami, so I can see him doing the same as sort of just a traditional point guard when LeBron needs a blow.
I will not argue with that, but they are going to get minutes, because like you said, you're going to need these guys to rest. And, I also forgot to mention Carmelo Anthony, who, also old.
Did you mention DeAndre Jordan?
Who's also old.
It's like that M. Night Shyamalan movie that just came out where they're all on the beach and they grow old.
So what's going to happen when you have you reach the playoffs and you have a Phoenix who will take them to seven games, and you have a Utah who will like to run, will take you to seven games? What's going to happen? You have Denver with their youthful legs taking you to seven games. It's not as people just want to hand in the title because, oh, they got Westbrook. This team is all superstars now. There one injury will derail this team immediately. If you lose one of those, you know, if you lose Westbrook or LeBron or AD for the season, or even half the season, that you are just going to hemorrhage wins and just sink down that West very fast.
But let's talk about their strengths, though. Defensively, they were excellent the year they won the title, and they were really, really good this past season anyway, even though they had limited in numbers of games down the stretch from Davis and James. I don't think even with West there have a reputation not being a great defender. Melo at this point in his career, the same. I do think that defensively they're going to be good. Frank Vogel will find some sort of plans there. And offensively, even though their 3-point shooting and spacing been in question with this lineup, especially with Westbrook, because he does not take a lot of threes, or he does take a lot of threes, but he's just not super efficient at creating and stuff like that. He sort of likes to hover into the mid range and take a bunch and burp up a bunch of shots. If they're able to sort of clean that up and have him play more of like a spread option with guys like with Ellington and even Melo in the corners, Malik Monk, who we mentioned, who can shoot threes, I think that could actually work. I think their offense, which was like in the 20s, I think that can actually bump up into the top 10, which was where they were when they won the championship. So I do see improvements there at the level of that win total. Like, they have 51.5 as their line. I see that as a little high. I can see them having some struggles with Westbrook fitting in early. I don't see them going on a run like they did in the 2019-20 season, where I think they had like the best record in the league going into the new year. I don't think that's going to be the case for the Lakers.
No.
You don't see that?
I don't see that either. Because, again, people want to say they're going to be good, but it doesn't pass that eye test.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't
like the spacing with the guards, with all the different kind of like smaller threes and the twos that they picked up.
Because Westbrook is going to still try to get his numbers, I think. He's still going to try to go for his triple doubles, and LeBron will let him, because LeBron now is smart enough and will be like, yeah, you go do you. I'm not going to put the extra, I need to conserve all the energy I possibly can. It's going to be a long season for them, and it's not this easy route, which everybody thought they had, because their bench will not save them.
Yeah, and I do think the lack of continuity from like, they did this in 2019 when they got Davis. In order to bring Davis in from New Orleans, they bloodlet a lot of guys like Ingram and Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball. They were able to keep Kuzma and then sign up some other guys for smaller deals. And they were able to get value, probably a little greater value out of the in terms of the money spent than those players are. Like, I'll just give you an example. Like, I think Rondo, DeAndre Jordan, Melo, and Malik Monk, despite their age and their issues, I think they're worth far more than veterans minimum. So I think they got value out of it. Is it going to fit as nicely as it did in 2019 when Davis just came in? I think, Adam, it just all comes down to the health of Anthony Davis. Like, if Anthony Davis plays a full season, which the only one was the one where they won it all, that would be the difference. But the odds say no. The odds say that Davis is going to miss about 20 games.
Yeah, he is known for that. So with all this said, is there any – we know this is a complete glass ceiling, because I don't think any of these teams can make it to that next level, because you have – you know, the defending champion is on the top, because they're that's the perk of being the champion. But anybody else can play themselves up, or I don't think anybody can play themselves down out of this list. Maybe, you know, of course, if there's an injury, you can't predict that and be like, well, you know, Jimmy Butler's out for the year, so Miami started to suck. Well, you can't say they, you know, it's performance based. So is anybody you think can play their way up out of this group?
When free agency had first gotten going and I looked at the landscape, I thought, man, Miami put themselves in a good spot to win now, because that was the point of the moves they made. But when I think about it as the weeks roll along and we get closer, I can't see Miami really busting in as like, oh yeah, that's perennial title contending teams. And my thought is this, like, say they meet Milwaukee again and this time they knock them out. Well, guess what? You got to play the Nets. Like, and yeah. It's like, listen, it seems simplistic formula wise for you and me, but that's just the reality of it. Like, oh, cool, you can beat the Bucks. Can you beat Brooklyn, the most talented team in the world? No. Phoenix, can they repeat what they did and get all the way to the finals and be in that platform? The numbers say it's really hard to do that when you don't have a history of doing it in the past. If I had to guess, I would probably say the Lakers and the Jazz. Like, I could see the Jazz having a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from being eliminated in the second round and trying to improve upon it. And the Lakers, just because of LeBron and Davis, if they're fully healthy, they could do it.
And that's the thing, is the, you know, those three teams you just mentioned, two of those teams will most likely be in the finals of the three, because Lakers, yeah, they should, because they have the history, they have the pedigree. It's just, well, can you, do you have enough in a tank? You have the other two teams that are younger than you. Phoenix, you're the youngest of the three, but you have the veteran Lakers to get through, and Utah's no pushover. And right. So it's one of those, like, these three teams will have to battle it out amongst themselves.
Where's your highest confidence factor among the four to move up?
The most steady factor is Utah. They seem to be just the
they got that little taste of it, and now you want more.
They're bringing it back, and they're trying not to rock the boat, and
they went into the tax to make sure they didn't drop down in terms of talent. good, smart. Yeah.
So that's they're the ones who I think can afford an injury more than the other two teams. That's why I will give them the edge, because they can bring in a next man up, whereas the Lakers and Phoenix cannot.
Okay. And the thing is, like, well, we don't even have to talk about who drops down, like you had said, to start the segment. Like, which one could drop down? All of them can. Like, this is a perched up floor. Like, this is right below the finals. Like, any of these teams, depending on a bad break, could really scuttlebutt everything. And the other thing too is, like, the confidence levels are not the same depending on the tiers. Like, we talked about the sub basement and the mezzanine and the other floors. Like, our confidence level of the other teams moving up, some of them range, some of them you feel good and some of them you don't. For this one, you can't, your confidence level on all on these teams to go all the way to, like, this team might win a championship. Like, that's rare air.